let's talk about the ISU's role a little bit. It's you guys, we talked in the beginning, you guys have been around for about 6 years. How has your role changed, or has it changed, I guess is the better question, and how does this annual report kind of in your accomplishments reflect the transformation that's been happening over the last 6 years?
Well, you know, we've, and this goes to the first question you asked me, what was, you know, new this last year, and I highlighted this idea that we're really proud of the fact that we're getting traction, and we feel at scale across our different communities, and that comes out in the report. You know, in terms of the maturation of the top-down governance structures, the budget performance integration, but also the bottom-up, bringing the state and locals into whole-of-government, whole-of-society type approaches here, the vision that was put forward by the 9/11 Commission, the Marco Foundation, and codified in IRPTA. We see that working with things like the National Network of Fusion Centers and suspicious activity reporting. This outside-in piece, how do we work with industry? How do we better communicate government requirements in a more standardized way to reduce fragmentation, increase interoperability, lower risk and cost? We're getting traction on that in terms of working with industry. So the top-down, bottom-up, outside-in, I think that's the thing that's has evolved over the last number of years, is that these have been long, you know, timeline. We've had successes along the way, but because we've been consistent in working these issues, you know, we have externally visible traction.
And I would venture to say that a lot of the traction is coming from success. You have the suspicious activity reporting. People go, okay, I see that. The NEAM, I see the benefits there. I mean, even NEAM, for instance, that's expanded, as you said, beyond law enforcement, right?
Absolutely. 19 cabinet agencies at last count are using it. Precision agriculture, NEAM on a tractor, human services. You know, one of the most interesting applications of NEAM is New York City, their health and human services there. They have a project called HHS Connect, integrating 32 different human service programs to provide 360-degree services to 4 million at-risk and needy New Yorkers. They did that on their own steam. I found out about it when I was part of a panel jurying awards for a Best of NEAM show, right? That was, you know, I said, wow, look at this. That was great to see. We're also getting international uptake and adoption, which is very exciting to see. And, again, that's people voting with their feet. There is no top-down pressure internationally. There's a lot of demand, you know, for what we do here and sharing best practices. Canada has stood up an analog to my office and is fulsomely embracing the National Information Exchange model. It's used in Europe. We've been working with the equivalent of the eGov office and the European Commission. Not us, but the NEAM program office has been doing that work. And also Europol, the Pan-European Criminal Intelligence Fusion Center. They do criminal intelligence, but also terrorism, cyber, narcotics. They use or are planning to use, they've adopted something they call UMF, Universal Messaging Framework, is based on NEAM, and there's a co-work there. So a lot of interesting, a lot of growth there.
You mentioned the international piece, and you went through it in a little bit of detail, but bring it back around. When an international group, let's say Canada or the European Union's eGov office, picks up NEAM or a related standard that ISC has helped promote, how does that help the U.S. federal government? And is it a matter of just they're talking the same terms, or does it go deeper than your basic standards?
That's a great point to bring out. There's really two, you know, benefits here. Number one is the extent to which we are using and sharing best practices and using consistent frameworks with our international partners, it'll make operational information sharing that much better and more effective, right? So we're not in the operational business with sharing internationally. DHS does passenger name records. DOJ does a cross-border crime forum with Canada, so on and so forth. But privacy, for example, right? The fact that folks overseas are looking at what we do with privacy and privacy by design in our frameworks and seeing that as a best practice can't help but make it easier to look at sharing operationally in terms of specific sensitive data sets. We're getting that sort of feedback from our international partners. So that's number one. Number two is core to our strategy is working with industry. Right, the idea of standards, industry adoption of our standards so we can leverage procurement. Well, industry is interested in markets and market size. If they're looking at it as just a narrow, if industry just looks at what we're doing as a narrow CT sort of thing, it's one size market. If they're looking at it as, well, wait a minute, it's being used across the public sector, it's something else. If it's being used internationally, it's yet again something else. So we're seeing that, and again, when I talk to my partners in industry, it makes a big difference that we're getting this international validation, both in terms of proving there's a that this is really leading edge stuff, as well as, wait a minute, there's a much bigger market here and we need to pay more attention and move faster to adopt.
We spent a lot of time talking about your 2011 report to Congress. We're knee-deep into 2012. It's in fact, we're in the fourth quarter here. Give me a sense of where do you see ISE continuing along, what path over the next, you know, 6-9 months to a year?
So as we've been talking, I think I've been highlighting the, the different initiatives. And so I see that over the next 6, 9, 12 months, these initiatives will continue to mature. Kind of key things that I would highlight is our mission partners in particular, our non-federal mission partners are looking at our domestic advances and saying it's time to look at, can we leverage these frameworks and best practices and successes more broadly to help re-engineer. And when I talk to my state and local partners, the number one issue for them is the budget situation, right? It's bad at the federal level. It's much worse at the state and local level. We have an amazing degree of fragmentation, 18,000 law enforcement agencies in this country because of our federated democracy, and then programmatic fragmentation, too, that people remark on. So there is a desire from our state and local partners to look at, well, can we look at things like statewide ISEs, right, and shared services, and can we accelerate on standards-based acquisition and things like that? I think we're going to see those ideas get more fully developed and some initial successes that we can report on next year and, you know, maybe sooner in terms of talking about that sort of thing. The data aggregation front, I mentioned that we've been getting momentum on that. We've been funding some pilot projects in that area. I think that over the next year, we're going to see increasing momentum in terms of looking at shared cooperative solutions and distributed decentralized approaches to data aggregation and correlation. I think that the standards-based work, we've been doing this with industry, with GSA, so that's going to come to some degree of fruition in terms of next steps. And, you know, the punchline here is that the government actually has a lot of authorities and frameworks for acquisition, and what we're talking about is using those existing frameworks. And that's where the partnership with GSA comes into the fore. The Office of Government-Wide Policy is exactly the right place. Kathleen, for example, Kathleen Turk, who runs that office, has talked about, can we put out management regulations for COTARs, right, or for program managers about how to use these kinds of standards? Can we provide training? So we've actually been working on training that we can put out to, you know, better use standards in the acquisition process and things like that. So I think you'll see more in that area. The back-end attribute exchange, that's very exciting work. I think that's going to start to bear some fruit in the next months, and you know more to talk about there. We see a big part of our mission is building capacity. So we've got a very exciting initiative that we're going to launch soon called Building Blocks of the ISE. So, you know, you, Jason, you've been a student of the ISE, and so you sort of get what we do and how we do it, but it isn't readily accessible to folks that aren't in the immediate community. So we've made an effort now to package the best practices, the frameworks, the success stories in a way where if you're a policy analyst in an agency or you're a CIO type or a program executive or a mission operator, it's easier to understand what we've done, how to use it in your context. And, you know, because we're making it's available online, there's varying degrees of which you can use it on your own, you can come to us, right? So I talked earlier about this idea of a statewide ISE. So it's not just federal employees, it's state and locals and so forth. So we think that knowledge management kind of idea is going to be a critical thing. And as we put it out there, we're interested in going beyond just putting the information out, but building online communities. So that's going to be an area where we kind of experiment with a little bit in the next year.